as always, it is fantastic to be here this morning. We love coming to this place. It's home. You guys are family. I'm your cousin. And it's always a privilege to preach God's word and to come here. We always loved coming to Ohio. We kind of make it a mini trip. We went to Kalahari. We always go to, by far, the best place on the face of the earth to get fried perch, which I love. Who can guess what it is? She knows. Jolly Rogers. I'm up here. The Lord is speaking through me. It is Jolly Rogers. So, and then I feel like every time we come here, there's some kind of update. Last year, we weren't here because of COVID, and there was no update. 2 years ago, I just joined staff at a church. If you look at my wife and you have a question, you're like, you just ask her after service. She is pregnant. We are expecting our fourth child. People are like, congratulations, you're crazy. And both, they don't know which one. We have two boys and a girl. My princess, she runs the show. She has me wrapped around her finger. And so we just knew, it's like, God, you love us. It's got to be another boy because this girl is, she's got, she is giving us a run for our money. And he's like, it's a girl. So, we've got another baby girl coming in. So pray for us. Pray for us. I am super excited to dig into the Word of God. The Lord, I feel like, laid this message heavy on my heart. And to be honest, it is kind of non-conventional for the way that I've been preaching over the last couple of years. I'm a very expository preacher where I just take it verse by verse. We'll do that a little bit, but this is more, we're going to look at an aspect of God, and I'm super excited to dive in this with you this morning. If you have your Bibles, you can go to Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46, or I guess these days you can say your phone device. And we're going to look at a couple of verses 9 and 11. Isaiah chapter 46, verses 9 through 11. This is what the prophet Isaiah, God said through the prophet Isaiah, remember the former things, those of long ago. It says, I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. He says, I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still yet to come. I say my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. From the east I summon a bird of prey, from the far off land a man to fulfill my purpose. It says, what I have said, that will I bring about. What I have planned, that I will do. Family, let's pray. God, there is, as always, this realization when I stand before your people, and it's a privilege that it must not be me. And so I humble myself before you, and God, I ask that I would just be a vessel. What we just sang, I pray that that would be like this anthem in this room, that we will build our life upon your love, upon your word, upon you. God, may things that are said in this place, in this moment, this time together, may that be our reality. May it not be empty words, but Lord, may we build our life upon you, your love. It is a firm foundation. God, may we leave this place unshakable because we know who you are and we build our lives solely on that, God, would you come in this place and meet with us, Lord. We need it more than we even realize. We desperately need it this morning. I pray that you would do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm fired up, trying to compose myself right now. So if I get a little rowdy, we'll say it's the Holy Spirit in me, right? I saw something recently on social media that I thought, it's like, man, that makes a lot of sense. I never thought of it that way, but I feel like this is exactly what's going on. And this is what it said. It says, we are 4 months away from 2022, which is crazy. Where has this year gone? It feels like it's been 3 months and we're already in August. But this person said, we are 4 months away from 2020, but I'm still trying to process. We are 4 months away from 2022, but I'm still trying to process 2020. And that's so true. It's like 2020 happened. 2021, it's like at the end, we're stepping into 2022. And it's like, man, I feel like I'm stuck at 2020. Last year for so many, and not all, but I do feel if you weren't directly affected by it, you were indirectly affected by it. But if I had to guess, all of us were affected by 2020. Last year was filled with so much, you fill in the blank, right? Loss, check. Disappointments, check. If you look at the scales, the growing rate of depression and anxiety, that check. Challenges, a great deal of such uncertainty. 2020, who wants to raise their hand and say, I'll go back to 2020? No, I don't want to go back to 2020. In fact, 2020 before COVID, so 2020, the months of January and February, personally for me, before we even knew what coronavirus was, in those 2 months in 2020, I found myself every other week, sometimes every week, I went to about 6 wakes and funerals in the first 2 months of 2020. Like, you take a step back and you're like, we are living in crazy, difficult, challenging, uncertain times. I was attending a conference a couple of weeks ago, and Craig Rochelle said something that I was like, you know what, I like that. He said, when things are uncertain, and things seem to be uncertain right now, he says, what's most important needs to be most clear. And we're going to see that today. When things seem uncertain, what do you hold on to? What needs to be your focus? What needs to be clear in your life is what is most important. Oh, man, I feel for you, if in uncertain times, what's most important is unclear for you. And so today what we want to do is we want to look at what's important, and we want that to be clear. And I couldn't agree more with that statement. Here's what I'm learning about myself, and maybe you can judge me, right? I don't know if it's good or bad. I think it's a little bit of both. But the older I get, the more questions that I have, the more things that I'm uncertain about. Apart from what is written in this book, when I look around things, the older I get, the more questions that I have. And I look at people, and I've seen it so much in the time that we live in. I look at people that are so certain and so confident about things, and I'm looking, and if I'm honest, I'm not. They have this strong stance on this, and I'm looking, and I'm like, I want to have that, but I don't, because I don't know if I can clearly see that here. We look at mask or no mask. Like, listen, I have a strong position on it, but I can't say, thus saith the Lord. You know? Some of you guys, maybe you can. I heard from God, and he said this. We have these convictions, and we treat it like it's the Ten Commandments. Maybe you're certain. Listen, I've got an opinion, but I'm not certain. Here we go. Vaccination or unvaccination? Some of you guys have heard from God, and you know, I'm sorry, I got a strong conviction about it, but I can't say, thus saith the Lord. I'm looking at things, and the older I get, I just don't know. But this is what I do know. The older that I get, the few things that I'm certain about, I'm more certain about them than I've ever been before in my life. The fact that God is on his throne and he's reigning and ruling and he has everything under control. Listen, I know that to be true and I know it like never before. I'm certain of that and I can stand on that. Man, I might have questions, but the things that I know for sure like never before. I think that's what Craig Rochelle is trying to paint this picture when he says, when things are uncertain, what's most important needs to be most clear. And so the question is, what's most important? Like if that needs to be most clear, then the question is, what's most important? And I love the way that A.W. Tozer, what he says. He puts it this way. What comes into our minds when we think about God, listen, it is the most important thing about us. You want to, and maybe you're like, I don't know. What comes in your mind when we talk or think about God, listen, that is the most important thing about you, and it determines everything else. So this is what I feel called to do. This is what I want to do. I want to paint this picture of this aspect of God and then our response to that. And I feel so strongly to do it. I want to elevate a right view of God and allow that be to be to inform what we see. Because if we're honest, I think that what's happened over the last year and a half is what we see has become way bigger than who he is. What we see is so big, and who he is, we've shrunk. And all I want to do is I just want to reverse that. I want to look at who he is and allow that to be so big and allow that to inform what we see. Because what you think about who he is the most important thing about you. And so we're going to look at the sovereignty of God. And Holy Spirit, we need your help. I can't do this. I want to elevate and expand our view of who he is and allow that to inform what we see. In Isaiah 46, we see this picture of the sovereignty of God. And this is what God says. He says, I am God and there is no other. He says, I am God and there is none like me. He's painting this picture, and he's talking about his uniqueness. He's holy. He's other than. He is like nothing else. Like, we are made in his image. There are things that are like him, but he is not like anything else. He is unique, his godness. And so he starts off by saying, listen, I am God, and there is nothing, I am God by myself, and you, there's nothing to which you can compare me to. I am unique. I am other than. And then he begins to show us how so, God. He says in verse 10, he says, I make known the end from the beginning. Who does that? Do you know anybody who does that? I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. So he said, I'm God, I'm unique, and I know. He has foreknowledge. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows what is still yet to come. And just like, it's so easy to just, okay, let's move on. Like, Paul's there. That's not like us. We live in a culture, and this is why I get frustrated about a lot of preaching that I hear. Because what we want to do is we take who he is and we bring him down to make him just like us. And what we need to do is like leave him up there and allow our minds to be challenged and expand our understanding of who he is. He is not like us. He is other than. He has foreknowledge. He says, I know the way that things will turn out before they happen. Who does that but him? He knows these things. And the question is, how? How can he know? It's not because he's like a fortune teller. Look at what he says. He knows. How does he know? Verse 10 says, I say my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. He's God. He's unique. He has foreknowledge. I love how the English Standard Version says in verse 10, I will accomplish all my purpose. Later in verse 11, it says, what I have said, that will I bring about. What I have planned, that will I do. So what's unique about him? It's not just, he doesn't just know the future. You know what's special about him? He accomplished the future. He accomplishes it. The reason that God knows the future is because he plans the future and he accomplishes the future. He stands outside of time. And again, a lot of this is even mystery because we can't fully understand it. He sees it all, and he is the one that orchestrates it. He knows because he plans, and he's going to do it. He's the one that makes it happen. The knowledge of the future leads to the purpose of God being established by God, and that's the sovereignty of God. He's God. He's unique. He knows. How does he know? Because he's the one that does it and accomplishes it. John Piper describes it as God having the rightful authority and freedom, wisdom, and power to bring about everything that he intends to happen. Because God is sovereign, he has absolute control and authority. Listen to me, everything that God intends to happen, everything that he wants to happen, it happens. It happens. He is sovereign over everything. The storms, the hurricanes, the earthquakes, the tornadoes, he's sovereign over it. He looks at Job, and Job is questioning him because Job is looking at what he sees, and what he sees become bigger than who God is. And God stands before Job, and he says, listen, Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? He looks at Job and says, okay, you want to question me? That's fine. Answer this to me. Answer this. Do you see the lightning bolts? Do you send them on their way? Do they report to you? Here we are. There is no disease. There is no wind. There is no hurricane. There is no earthquake nor tornado that God says stop and it doesn't obey. He is sovereign. He is sovereign over disease. He is sovereign over coronavirus. He is sovereign over it. And this is what you need to know is God might not cause everything, but listen, he allows everything. And even greater that he uses everything. If something is coming our way as his children, listen, if he doesn't say stop, if that tornado is coming to my house and he can say stop, if he doesn't say stop, you better believe that as his child, he has a purpose for it, and it is better than avoiding whatever that thing is. He has a purpose, he has a plan, and guess what? Nothing can stop that Because he's God, he is sovereign, and he is in control. The Bible says there is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord. He is sovereign. And maybe in a room today, you're sitting there and you're listening to this and you're like, I know that and I want to believe that, but if I'm honest, I'm not feeling that right now. I'm not necessarily seeing it in my life. Like, I hear you, preacher. Like, it's easy for you to stand up there and say that, but you don't know the hardship of what I'm going through. You don't know the depth of pain in which I'm experiencing right now. Maybe you find yourself, it could be the most challenging time in your life. I'm telling you, he's sovereign over it. That he is God, he has a purpose and a plan, and he is working. And I've been there, right? If you're honest, it's in those moments when you look at God and you say, God, listen, I don't like this. You've ever said that? You ever been through something and your response, if you're honest, is God, what you've given to me, I don't like it and I don't want it. And I wish that you would take it away. You're like, God, I don't like this. And it's almost like he replies, I know you don't. I know you don't, but guess what? You will love what it's producing in you. And there's those moments when you go before him and like, God, in this moment, I feel like I can't do anything. I feel so weak. I feel so helpless. And it's like he responds to you like, listen, child, I see you. I know. But listen, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. It's in those moments when you're like, God, just listen, I have never experienced so much pain in my life. Have you been there? Maybe you're there now. This is so much, this is so painful for me. This is so painful for me. But he looks at you and says, listen, I know my child, but I'm looking at you and you have never been in so much prayer in your life. I think we would agree that some of our sweetest, most deepest, most intimate, most profound moments with Jesus have been in your darkest days. For the preacher, put it this way, when you experience, when our experience doesn't match up with our expectations, many times what God is trying to do is give us a deeper revelation of who he is. I love that. When what we are expecting him to do is not our experience, he's trying to work in a way so that he can reveal this deeper revelation of who he is. And let me tell you, the greatest work that God can do in your life, it is to reveal who he is. It is to reveal himself to you. And this is why. Because listen, if you know who he is, guess what? You can trust what he does. If you know who he is, you can trust what he does. Whatever he does. If you know him, you can trust him. There is, I love this thing where the blessing isn't just a blessing. Like we're very simple. It's like, God, I'm missing this. Will you give me this? I'm missing peace. God, just give me peace. But the way that God works, the blessing isn't just a blessing. There is a blessing in the lesson. So you need him to provide. When he provides, hello, that's a blessing, right? That's a blessing. But don't forsake to see the process in which he shows you that he is a provider. The things that he takes you through that you can learn that he is a provider. Listen, that's a blessing. Yes, he provides, but now I know that he's a provider. Hello. Like, we don't like that, but the journey and the process, and what he reveals himself to you, and what you learn that he is a provider, that is a blessing as well. When you're weak and you're like, God, give me strength, and he gives you strength, that's a blessing. But don't forsake the journey and the process and what he reveals to you, that he is your strength and you know him to be that. There is a blessing in the lesson. Don't despise those moments. The greatest work that God does in our lives is revealing himself to us. And we see this in scripture. Looking at John chapter 11, some of us know John chapter 11 because back in the day when you're like, you know, you have to remember a verse, you're like, I got it, John 11, 35, Jesus wept. But there's so much more in that story than just that. John 11, Jesus, he gets word that someone that he deeply loves, Lazarus, had died. And so what did he do? The Bible says this. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister, Mary, and Lazarus. This is like, you're like, it's not going to make sense. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, what did he do? He stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. I'm confused, right? That doesn't make sense. Okay, this equation doesn't work in our heads. Okay, you love Lazarus, and so you heard that he's sick. If I'm writing a story, it would say when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he rushed to him. He left immediately. He got there as soon as possible. But the reality is, the Bible says, no, when he loved Lazarus, when he heard that he was sick, what did he do? He waited. He didn't wait one day. He waited 2 days. Have you been there? Your expectation is, God, here is my, do you see me? I am crying out desperately for you. Like, I need you yesterday, definitely now. I need you now. And it seems like what he's doing is he's waiting. Maybe you're there now and you're angry at him because of it. God, this is what I need, and it seems like you're waiting. Listen, when you heard, you should have ran immediately. You should have rushed to my aid. But what did he do? He waited. Listen to me. God is intentional. He is intentional. Listen, if he waits, and this is his sovereignty, if he waits, there's a purpose in his waiting. If he hears that Lazarus is sick and he's waiting, he's not waiting because he's bad. He's waiting because he has a greater purpose and he's going to fulfill that purpose. He waited 2 days so that it will be clear to everyone that Lazarus was dead. Why would he do that? Because Mary and Martha and Lazarus, there is an aspect of Jesus that they did not know yet. There's an aspect of him that he's going to use this situation to display. Their expectation was he would come right away. That was not their experience. So what's going on? He's trying to give them a deeper revelation of who he is. So he waited 2 days so that it would be apparent to everyone that Lazarus is dead. And so what happens? Martha looks at Jesus and said, Lord, if you would have been here, again, what did she expect? She expected him to be there. If you would have been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. You can see in her there's this like frustration and a little bit of faith, like, man, you should have been here, God, but I still kind of believe that you can. And listen what Jesus said to her. Your brother will rise again. And then Martha said, listen, she knows her Bible. She knows the word. She says, I know he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. And Jesus looked at her. I love this. She has no clue, but he's using the situation to show something about himself that they needed to know and we need to know. He looks at her and says, listen, that's what you think, but listen, Mary and Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? There's this aspect of who he is. And listen, you and I need to know this today. This is good news. That because of the finished work of Jesus on the cross, death is no longer has dominion over you and I. That the promise of eternal life with Jesus is that one day we will be resurrected with him and that we will live for him forever, and nothing, not even death, can stop that. As a believer, if you die tomorrow, guess what? You don't die tomorrow. You live like never before with him in all eternity. And he stood, used that situation to display death has no masters over me. Oh, death, where is your sting? He is the resurrection. He is the life. He is sovereign. This is who he is. I wonder if in a room today you feel like you're going through. And if you're honest, you can say, I've looked at what I've seen and I've questioned who he is. And be honest, someone said you can't get right if you won't get real. And so maybe today you're like, man, what I'm going through has been so much bigger than who I see him to be. Man, I pray like only the Holy Spirit, he will work in such a way that it will reverse, that you will see him for who he is. And it will inform what you see and what you go through. In what way? I mean, Lazarus is dead, but the resurrection and the life overcame that. And now you think that they will forget that about him being dead? Absolutely not. And what you're going through today, in what ways is God trying to display himself to you? And maybe you can't hear him because you've got a different perspective. It breaks my heart how quickly people would turn from him because of a wrong perspective. If you're in a room today, pause, take a step back, and ask yourself, God, what are you trying to reveal about yourself in me? And understand that's the greatest work that he can ever do in your life, is to reveal himself to you. This is who he is. And I want us to have such confidence in that. That who he is will inform what we see. I want that so bad for you, my family. Like, I understand the season that we just got out of and we're still in, but do you know the hope of glory that you have and who he is? And I want, even now, there just to be this like wave of belief that he will increase faith in us, that we will look at who he is and we will respond to that instead of allowing what we see to have such dominion and power and effect on us. Look at him. with everything. It's the greatest pursuit in your life. Open up your Bible and say, God, show me yourself. I've got to see you. May that be your greatest ambition. May that be your greatest pursuit. May that be your greatest desire. God, take all of this. I want you. You're the one thing that I seek. Family, let's pursue him with everything. We need to see him for who he is. He is sovereign. And so what should our response be? I've got a few things and I'll close if Mike or whoever can come in and help me close. He is sovereign. What should our response be? First, just trust him. Trust him. Been in ministry, and ministry is people, and you see people go through some of the toughest things in life. There's a video, maybe we'll post it on a website. There's this couple in our church who, in I think a 7-year span, they had 2 sons. Different situations. They lost both of their sons. Just complete. Can you imagine the heartache? If I'm honest, it grips me, because if there's a fear in life, that's one of them. Like, God, please don't ever make that happen in my life. But it's so crazy to see that in that deep, dark moment, how they have leaned into him and have trusted him. It's amazing. If this is who he is, listen, he's trustworthy, and I pray that you would trust him. A guy named Jerry Bridges says this, and I think it's so beautiful. He says, he knows with infinite wisdom what combination of good and bad circumstances, because he's sovereign, will bring more and more into sharing in his holiness. I love this. His blending of adversity and blessing is always exactly right for us. That's good news. In his sovereignty, he has the ability to work the nasty things and the blessings to produce in us his purposes for us for the sake of his glory. The Bible says that the Lord will fulfill his purposes for me. You can be confident in that. We all know Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purposes. As his children, we can take it to the bank that in our lives, God works everything all together for our good and most importantly, for his glory. Listen, if you're a child today, if it's not good, he's not done. And if you're done on this side of earth, you get to spend eternity with him. Such hope that we have. What the enemy meant for evil, God means for good. Listen, family, you can trust him today. Number 2, I would just say, humbly submit to him. I just, this doesn't happen all the time, but there are moments this week where it wasn't planned. It was at weird times and not expected places, but just really sense his presence. Like he was just right there. And anytime you see him for who he is, like it ought to humble you. When I see believers being so prideful, I think, man, you need to get into his presence. His presence doesn't produce pride. It produces humility. You think of Isaiah, who saw him, just like fell to his knees. He saw him for who he was. Woe is me. Humbly submit to him. Humbly submit to him. Third thing is this, and I think this has been challenged in the body of Christ. Listen, Don't do this alone. COVID-19 produced in us, and if this is you in the room, no judgment. The Lord impressed this so heavy on my heart. Produced in us this kind of sloppiness about the gathering, about the family. This, as imperfect as she is, the body of Christ, I want to say, this is not man's design. Like, you weren't designed to do this by yourself. We need each other. Don't forsake the gathering. Don't forsake the body. I'm telling you, I would not be the man, although as short, all of the shortcomings, I would not be the man that I am today if it was not for the body of Christ. Don't forsake the body. It's God's design to produce in you what he needs to produce in you for his purposes. Hold on to it. As imperfect as she might be, don't forsake this. You can't do it alone. You need the body. Lastly is, let the sovereignty of God, let it leave you in awe and bring you to worship. Our pastor, Pastor Brian back home, he puts it this way, the worship is the right response to the revelation of God. This is who he is. Psalms chapter 48, verse 1 says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. What does that mean? That implies that our praise should be consistent with our revelation of who he is. And listen, I'm not a person that looks around and like judge worship, but I wonder when we worship and you have nothing to render unto him, I wonder, what do you think about him? Like, do you know him to be the King of Kings? Has he been your provider? Has he comforted you? Has he given you life? Praise him today. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. That our revelation of who he is should match our praise and worship unto him. Worship him today, family. He is so worthy of it. The confidence that we have in who he is should bring about a praise in our heart and a worship unto him. So as we sing these songs, if you can testify that that's who he is, lift up your voice and raise your hands and say, you are my one desire. Oh God, if you need him this morning, as we say, oh, I need you, listen, block everybody out in this room. If you got to kneel, God say, Lord, I need, in your heart, Lord, I need you. Render unto him what he's worthy, true praise and worship. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, so much for who you are, God, as that guy up there just passionately screaming. God, I pray that your word would take root in our hearts. I can only imagine in a room like this, so much of what we have seen has minimized someone's view of who you are. And may what's said today through the power of your Holy Spirit, may we pause and reprioritize some things and we can see you for who you are. Because if we know who you are, we can trust what you do. And what you do is always good. Unto your glory, Lord. Thank you for the cross, God. Thank you for the price, Jesus, that you paid so that we can have a relationship with you. It should have been me. Oh, sovereign one. You sit on a throne, making intercession for us. And we thank you, Lord. May we see you for who you are and inform everything else around us. So in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God, praise God. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. What a God we serve, that we get to do this. And I pray, and I'm going to pray that as we leave this place, and we've all been there, no matter where you are in your relationship with God, that he will draw you closer and deeper, that he will lead you towards himself, and you can gain his perspective and fulfill his purposes in your life to bring him glory to people, to the knowledge of who he is. That's what we're here for. Let me pray for us. God, I thank you so much for my family. God, I pray a blessing over them. Father, you know the faces, you know the names, you know the stories, you know them right where they are. God, I pray that in the room, that you have met with us, and as we leave this place, you will continue to meet with us and draw us closer to yourself. God, we love you. You're awesome and worthy of our worship. Thank you for who you are. Pray a blessing over my family as we leave this place in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys have a fantastic week. Love you guys so much.